verses 7 to 12. 1 Chronicles 16, verses 7 to 12. In the context here, this has to do with tabernacle worship, details that David assigned for that. And we read from verse 7. Then on that day, David first assigned Asaph and his relatives to give thanks to the Lord. O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, speak of all his wonders. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his wonderful deeds which he has done, his marvels and the judgments from his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. And then also from Ephesians chapter 6, I'll read verses 10 to 20. The text for the sermon is verses 18 to 20. And of course, this in a way jumps ahead a little bit in postponed series on the book of Ephesians, but I still plan to go through this passage again as part of a wider text when we come to that chapter in due course. But for now, we look at it in connection with the Heidelberg Catechism. Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20. It's the well-known passage on the armour of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armour of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armour of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparations of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And now our text. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And then also from the Heidelberg Catechism, we're up to Lord's Day 45, Lord's Day 45, and we're just going to be looking at question answer 116. Question 116, why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God gives his grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking him for them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word does restore us by pointing out to us again and again our need of the Saviour, urging us to keep our eyes fixed upon him. Also by telling us who he is and what he has done for our restoration and renewal. And by telling us that you want us to express gratitude for that and to what kind of life we should return when we have fallen down in obedience. Father, help us to benefit in these ways from your word again this afternoon. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Covenant people of God, on the surface of it, question answer 116 gives us two reasons why we need to pray. First, because prayer is the most important way of saying thank you to the Lord. And second reason, because a Christian is by definition a praying person. And so if you want to call yourself a believer, then you must be a praying person. Those are the very obvious things that the article states, the obvious reasons for prayer. But there is actually a third reason implied in question 116. And that is the reason to pray because God commands us to. Note the words in the first sentence of question 116. God requires of us. He actually requires thankfulness, but as we've been told, prayer is the most important part of that thankfulness. So if God commands or requires thankfulness, then we must be praying. And this is also the very reason why this section on prayer in the Heidelberg Catechism, from Lord's Day 45 through to Lord's Day 52, follows hard on the heels of the Ten Commandments. For the reason that after the Ten Commandments, we could say that the command to pray is one of the most significant commands in the Bible. Part 3 of the Heidelberg Catechism is, after all about our duty to God. It is about our service to God out of gratitude, but following the rule of gratitude. And by the way, this is also another demonstration, if any would be inclined to say, law characterises the Old Testament, but the New Testament isn't really interested in law, only in grace. For those that make that false dichotomy, I point out here that this is from the mouth of the Lord Jesus as well, the command, the requirement of prayer. But of course, we're also aware that a believer should not be motivated by a mere sense of duty. And as soon as we talk, as we do here, and we read it in this article 116, question 116, as soon as we hear about gratitude, the motive of gratitude, right away from the beginning, that already takes us way beyond action that arises out of a mere sense of duty. It is important, therefore, as we look very much in this sermon about the requirement of prayer, it is important that we look at the reasons for that requirement. Because whatever God's command, whatever commands we're looking at of God's commandments, when we look at the why of those things, it gives us a much richer, a greater richness and depth to our motivation for obeying that command. Much as when children with their parents, when the children are very young, perhaps parents just tell them, you do it because Dad said so, and they do, hopefully. But as they get older, you explain to your children more of the reason why, so that they can take that to heart for themselves. And they don't act out of mere duty. They act because they can see that what they have been taught is right and good. So it deepens our motivation. 3 points then, as we look at this command and others in this text. The command to pray, firstly. Second, the command to be alert. And thirdly, for the sake of the gospel.